Last week, the state Senate held a hearing to review the financial shape of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority after having its operations disrupted for the 18 months during the pandemic, but also receiving a large influx of one-time federal cash. To discuss what was gleaned and learn how it will impact policy out of Albany in next year's budget, we're checking in with Senate Transportation Committee Chair Tim Kennedy, a Buffalo area Democrat who co-chaired the recent inquiry. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Great to be with you.
So what did you find out about the current state of ridership on MTA services, which includes buses, trains, and most notably the subway, all of which took a hit during the pandemic as people were obviously less interested in going out and also feeling less safe about public transportation?
Yeah, well, we learned an incredible amount of information at the hearing. It was a marathon session, about 8 hours, including about 3 hours with the acting chair, Jana Lieber, of the MTA. And, you know, one of the biggest takeaways was that the MTA and the ridership is coming back in what we hope will soon be a post-COVID world, but that we continue to deal with. The MTA has worked to increase ridership, and that's essential to the longevity of the system itself and to making sure that the resources are there in order for the system to actually function the way the community needs it to in the tri-state area, serving millions of people on a daily basis. So the biggest takeaway I would say is that from last year, the place where the MTA is today is on much better footing from a financial perspective. Thankfully, the federal government came through with the CARES Act back in November of last year, just after the election. It would have had catastrophic negative consequences had the federal government failed to move. And what we've seen is that the finances have been bolstered at the MTA from what would have been a massive multi-billion dollar deficit to some stability through at least the year 2025, which is very promising.
So you use the word stability to describe the bottom line for the MTA in the wake of that CARES Act money that came out in the spring of 2020, then the December stimulus, and then the American Rescue Plan money this past spring. Does that definition that you use mean they're in the red but close to in the black? Does it mean they're in the black but close to in the red? Or does it mean that they are flush with cash and, you know, MTA drivers are going to have $100 bills coming out of their pockets?
No, I think all of the above taken into consideration, what it means is some stability financially when, you know, just several months ago, before the CARES Act was passed from the federal government, and I credit Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and our congressional delegation for driving this forward and getting it done, thankfully, we would have seen catastrophic cuts in services, catastrophic cuts in personnel, frontline workers, massive delays, total unreliability and a devastation to the entire system that would have honestly taken probably decades to return to normal. That catastrophic negative impact didn't happen because the federal government got its act together and moved, thankfully. That being said, though, what it looks like, and from the recent comptroller's report from Tom DiNapoli, that through 2025, there is financial stability, meaning they don't have to look at those significant cuts. They can look at ways to make proper investments into the system to make it work and function even better for the ridership. And they can think about the vision for the future and making strategic capital investments to make the system better for future generations. That all said, we're going to need help from the federal government further. You know, we were able to pass historic congestion pricing plan just a couple of years ago through the state legislature that was signed into law, the first of its kind in the nation, that will not only shore up the finances and improve that ridership into the future, but it'll also stabilize the finances, get people out of their cars, back into the system, and give the system the ability to make capital investments for the ridership that exists today and for the ridership, again, of the next generation. When we're dealing with a system that still has massive holes in it for accessibility for individuals with disabilities, when we have climate resiliency goals that we have to meet, not only because the CLCPA legislation that will help to protect our climate and make New York a leader, not only in the nation, but the world, insists that we do so, but it's the right thing to do. And I was very pleased to hear Jana Lieber talking about the climate resiliency agenda and vision that the MTA shares with us in the legislature as we're making these strategic capital investments to the tune of billions upon billions of dollars into the system to make the ride easier and more accessible for those that live on Long Island, that live in the Hudson Valley community, that commute from other areas of the tri-state community into the city of New York, and of course, the millions of riders in the city on the five boroughs that use the system each and every day. This system has to be world class, and we need to have the resources in order to do that. So we did not have a partner at the federal level with President Trump in the previous Congress. They were letting us die on the vine. Now that we have President Biden, we have his agenda, we have a Congress that's not only functioning, but that is working in the best interest of New Yorkers, we have an opportunity to seize the moment and to pass once and for all and to put in place the congestion pricing plan that we've been working on for well over a decade that'll ensure that the system has the functionality, that has the vision, and has the ability to work for the ridership and improve not only the convenience and accessibility for the riders, but also helps to drive our economy forward, because we know not just the city of New York, not just the state of New York, and quite frankly, not just our country is dependent on a healthy, functional MTA system, but I would argue the international economy is dependent upon it as well. So, no, we are working toward all of those goals, and we're in a much better place than we were just a year ago.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking with Senate Transportation Committee Chair Tim Kennedy about his recent hearing examining the shape of the MTA, which runs public transportation in the New York City area. You mentioned congestion pricing and the long road it took to get to the creation of a law for this in New York City, but we still are, you know, potentially years away from actually implementing congestion pricing in the New York City area, Manhattan. Did you get any sense of what that timeline could look like, or is it still up in the air with all the moving parts involved?
Yeah, well, there were two things that really pulled the rug out from underneath the congestion pricing timeline that was originally slated to begin earlier this year. And that was, first and foremost, the pandemic that hit all of us, and it hit New York City and vicinity first and hardest. That was something that was unforeseen. It was very difficult. But what was and uncontrollable, what was controllable but made matters worse was the Trump administration's complete disregard for New York, for New Yorkers, and for those that utilize the MTA. It was unfortunate and quite frankly, political and government malpractice that the Trump administration and his transportation team were allowing the MTA system to die on the vine. What we have now with the Biden administration and a functional working Congress, a Democratic Congress that is focused on the needs of New Yorkers and these public transit systems, not just in New York, but across the country, is we have the ability now to implement congestion pricing as we had put in place just a couple of years ago. So we hit a couple of speed bumps. Those speed bumps, for the most part, are behind us. We are working in this new reality, and we're driving forward, hopefully, within the next year to year and a half, we will have the congestion pricing plan up and running, where people will be out of their cars, back into the system. We'll have billions of dollars to invest into capital improvements in the city of New York, in the Hudson Valley Metro North area of the system, and of course on Long Island through the Long Island Railroad. There's proportional funding through the structure that we put in place through congestion pricing to make sure that all areas impacted by the MTA and the ridership have investments for the future in their respective communities.
At your hearing, you heard from the acting head of the MTA, about his vow to put an end to the staffing reorganization that began there in 2019 at the behest of then-Governor Andrew Cuomo. In hindsight, does the cost-saving initiative from Governor Cuomo seem like a victim of the pandemic? You know, because it really cut a lot of service jobs that became really in need during the pandemic? Or was this a misguided effort from the very beginning, as you look back on it now with about 2 years of hindsight?
Yeah, well, look, at hindsight's 2020, and there were those that were critical of the transformation plan as had been put forward. But I think what was telling in the meeting that we had was the acting chair, General Lieber's criticism himself of the transformation plan and the fact that they are moving away from that plan, the fact that there was millions of dollars that was spent on an outside consultant coming in and telling the MTA what the MTA could have and should have done on its own. The fact that when they were looking at streamlining and making the system more efficient and effective to those that use the system, they looked at potentially reducing jobs. What they were looking at reducing were jobs of conductors and those that actually run the system,
right,
rather than the bloated, heavy management that makes up the MTA. And while they were looking at reducing those frontline workers, the bloated management continued to grow. That is an upside-down way of looking at things. And unfortunately, that's what this transformation plan resulted in, and that's why they're moving away from it. We have to do better than that. And I implored the MTA and my colleagues, including Senator Comrie, who co-chaired the meeting with me, implored the MTA to do the right thing, to focus on the workers that are doing the work, making the system run each and every day, and ensuring the viability and the longevity and the reliability of the system for years to come.
Well, we've been speaking with Senate Transportation Committee Chair Tim Kennedy. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Yep, always my pleasure, David. Have a great day.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.